This podcast is for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided with the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help, seek out a qualified medical services provider or other healthcare professional. Welcome to the Live Your Yoga Podcast, a podcast dedicated to discovering and sharing all the ways in which yoga can be lived off the mat. Real stories by real people, just like you.
Welcome to the Live Your Yoga Podcast. My name is Mark, and I'm joined today by
Juan,
and we are together in person recording this podcast. Just a quick reminder that the retreat that we're doing in Salt Spring Island in October 2023 is live. There's a page up on the website. You can check it all out if you're not signed up to join us yet. And we are coming into month two of the mentorship program. So heading towards February, the theme for the month of February is Satya. And on the website, there's much more information about joining us for the mentorship program.
And if you join in February, you can also have all the content from January, and including all the recordings for the Q&A and the live stuff were done in the previous month.
Yeah, so we're just continually excited about that. But today, on our little conversation, Juan and I thought it would be really fun to just talk about something that we have been experiencing the last few years, and that is travel.
And patience.
Travel and yoga, and patience with your practice. So, I know that, you know, the world is becoming more mobile again. People are starting to move around, and with that comes this sort of uncertainty about how we're going to maintain our practice. So I remember years ago, when we used to travel a lot for work, that sometimes I would find it really difficult to, for example, do my daily practice of movement and meditation when we're in Barcelona, because I'm so excited about getting out and exploring the city, and then the days go by and then you find out it's been 2 weeks and you've not really done anything. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I found myself personally, after a while, I'd start to be craving the type of movement I was used to, and I really missed it in my daily life.
Yes, I agree. Also, one way that eventually, because I feel like I try to move every day, because we were walking so much in Barcelona, then I decided to make that my movement practice. So it's almost like letting go of the fact that you cannot do your own thing, but you are walking all the time every day. So yeah, I think there was a little bit of letting go there and just being like, you know what? Movement is my practice and walking is my practice today. So I'm just going to be more mindful while I walk and try to apply the other things I apply to my yoga practice into my walking practice.
Mm-hmm. But going back further, before you came to that realization, had you struggled with sort of traveling and how to find a consistent movement or meditation practice while traveling?
No, only when I travel with you.
Really?
Well, it's because when you're with someone else, is like, you are both agreeing on what to do at what time, leaving the hotel, all that stuff. But if I'm by myself, I can just wake up and just do yoga in a tiny corner in the hotel. Like I don't need to have space. And I think you need to have more the proper setup to exercise and to move than I do. Mm-hmm. So I would always do something. It wouldn't be as, you know, maybe spacious as usual or I'm used to, but it would be, whether it was bed yoga or bed Pilates, or if there was a room on the floor, clean the floor a little bit and put my mat down and just, you know, find a space to exercise and to do some movement or a yoga practice or something.
So the struggles while traveling and some things that I've learned that hopefully can be turned into helpful tips, because it's come up a few times in questions that students have had and through my own teaching that my students have had. So the first thing that I would suggest that's really helped me is to change your concept of movement. So we can get really stuck and rigid with doing something a certain way this particular day. You know, so some people have to do this certain practice on this day, every day, for this amount of time. And, you know, we know from Buddhism that that sort of rigidity and that inability to be flexible creates discomfort and suffering. So the first thing is kind of like what Juan suggested at the beginning, is that the movement might be different. It might be walking. You know, if you're staying in a hotel, there's always a gym and they're usually empty. If there's not space in your hotel room because you're with people and you're traveling, then find that gym space in the hotel, because 9 times out of 10, it's empty and you can do what you need to do. And there's usually some sort of mat, or you bring your yoga mat, there's workout equipment, there's probably one really old treadmill. And you, with those parameters, you can definitely do something which maybe will help your mental and physical state. So the second thing I'd suggest is traveling is a great opportunity to try something new. You might not think of yourself as a runner, but I know from my own experience that a morning run through a city is not only a great way to get a sense of direction and to sort of get a sense of your bearings, but it's a great way to, I guess, kind of sightsee and to get some movement in. And then when you get back to your hotel room, you can stretch, do a little yoga, maybe you meditate, those kind of things. But yeah, I think I rediscovered my joy of running again through traveling, because sometimes it was the only thing that was available. So try something new.
Yeah. And if, you know, if walking might not be new to you, but the idea of going, of taking walking as an exercise or as a mindful practice might be new to you. So yeah, if you're walking a lot, just switching your mind to making walking be your practice, your movement practice that day, and start to be more mindful of when you're talking to someone, when you're sightseeing, when you are looking for something on a map, or trying to find a coffee shop or something. Always be mindful as you are doing the thing that sometimes you believe is not enough. Like walking, to me, I felt that walking wouldn't be an enough practice for me until I switched my mind about it and made it my movement practice.
I think that's another good tip, is anything can be a mindfulness practice. We might be used to having a daily sitting meditation practice, and for various reasons when we're traveling, that might not be possible. So turning your running, your walking, whatever it is that you're doing, the strange exercise class you're taking in a different city, any of these things you can turn into a mindfulness practice to be cultivating that calm, still sense of center within yourself. Want any tips you want to share? I was numbering them and then I already forgot the numbers, so we're just doing tips now.
I think also, even if you don't have enough space, because I think maybe sometimes we are used to lots of space, also is a good opportunity to figure out how to minimize the movement. So you can still get the benefits of the movement, but not the full range of motion. Mm-hmm. I think I did a yoga class sitting on an airplane once, and maybe the person next to me was very annoyed, but I liked it for myself. I feel like I got a practice. It was minimal movement in the space of a plane, but you know, if you hold certain poses, chair yoga poses for a minute, and you are focusing on your breath, then after half an hour, you feel like you have done a yoga practice. So yeah, starting to get curious about how to make movements smaller to fit the space you're in.
It's a good practice too as a yoga teacher for when you're teaching in a really crowded space and there's not enough room for people to open up their arms to the side, and you sort of have to really think about things you can do in the moment that feel fluid and make sense, but accommodate the amount of space that people have. Another thing that I know you do a lot of is bed yoga. Mm-hmm. And no matter where you are traveling, you're probably sleeping in a bed. Maybe not, but more than likely you're sleeping in a bed. And your bed is a great place to practice yin yoga, restorative yoga. It's a wonderful place to meditate. So before you even get up in the morning, you can do a short 15-minute restorative practice. You can lay there or sit there in meditation. You can do this at the end of the day. If you've been walking and sightseeing all day and your legs are a little sore, then legs up the wall for a while. Like all of these things that you are able to do in your bed can make it feel more manageable because you're there anyway and you don't have to bring anything. I think sometimes if you can, investing in a travel mat that goes with you everywhere is a great idea, because it's kind of this constant reminder that, oh, I should just throw it out on the floor and I can do something. But if you're not able to do that, then knowing that the bed is basically a giant cushy yoga mat.
Yeah. And also, you don't have to do gentle movement on a bed. If your wrists are okay, you should also try downward facing dog on the bed. Bridge pose is great on a bed. And even standing poses, if the ceiling is tall enough, I know it might look silly, but the amount of strength and stability you need to stand on a bed is more than you think. Like to do warrior two on a bed or tree pose. I mean, you might have to hold a wall to do tree pose, but yeah, it's fun also to figure out what you can do on a bed. I mean, if nobody's watching, who cares?
Yeah, no, that's right. It's your hotel room if you're in a hotel room. I think it's a good time now to circle back to something we talked about at the beginning, which was patience, which mm-hmm. is probably the number one thing to take with you when you're traveling. Patience for the fact that you may not have time or the space to do your normal movement and contemplative practices. Patience for the fact that they might feel different or might appear different. And then patience with the people around you who might not understand your need to have these things every day. So I think patience overall will make the experience much more enjoyable. And something I like to remind myself about, if I cannot get my movement and my meditation in, is that I'm in a new city, I'm experiencing a new thing, I should really throw myself 100% into what I'm experiencing, because when I get back home, I can get back to my routine, I can get back to the things I like to do. So sometimes the mindful and the kind thing to do is to just forget about routine if you can, throw yourself into what you're doing and know that what you love to do on a daily basis will be waiting for you when you get back home. Hopefully this is helpful to some of you and maybe more helpful as you begin traveling more and more, hopefully over the next little while, hopefully to come to some of the retreats that we're offering, but also just to go out there and explore the world. And as two people who've traveled a lot and had a fair amount of experience trying to adapt and modify our practices into our traveling and nomadic lifestyle, I think that we've sort of settled on things that really work for us now. Mm-hmm. So hopefully some of that's helpful. And we always love to hear your comments about the podcast. So if you'd love to tell us how you manage to work things in when you're traveling, that would be so helpful for the other listeners as well. Mm-hmm. And you can always reach us at our support student help center if you have questions about programs you're in or programs you'd like to take. And as always, we're so thankful for all of you here at the Live Your Yoga and the Your Yoga Flow community. And we look forward to being with you again really soon.
Thank you for listening and happy travels.